Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
Hi, Ronnie. You look lovely today.
Well, thanks. So do you.
Thanks. We're doing Crappens on Demand. That's on patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. And today we're talking about the Real Housewives of Dallas, first part of their two-part reunion. And before we get into that, well, first of all, last night was the Roni premiere, which was, you know, we're so happy to have Roni back. If you're wondering where our recap is, you have to wait about another day because we're recapping it live during our live show tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, it's going to be at 6 on the West Coast, 9 on the East Coast. There's still time to get tickets. You should get tickets now because I think day of show, the system actually, I think the prices go up a little bit. So get them now while you can at a lower price. And because we are so excited for this, we've been doing a countdown of what we feel are the most underrated Roni players. And again, we don't have a theme song, but we do have this. That's our segment theme song. Yesterday we were at number 5. Today we're at number 4. Ronnie, who is your number 4 most underrated Roni player?
Well, now we're going to be repeating ourselves a little bit because we both have lists, right? So
yeah.
He's already picked a lot of mine. You know, we just put him in different places on the list. So my number 4 is Kristen Taekman.
Okay. Wow, number Taekman. 4.
I put Kristen Taekman pretty high up. I mean, her husband had the Ashley Madison cheating scandal. He wears hideous hats. You know, a lot of this is for Josh.
The fedora.
She came out with a makeup line called POC, which is just completely out of touch and horrible. And she really tried to come for Bethany. Now, she couldn't. She couldn't do it because Bethany was just like, ah, you know what? You're in a box. And she's like, you put me in a box. She's like, you are in a box or whatever that whole thing was. But she tried, and I think she could have if she had a little more support. And I don't know. There was just some effort. Like, I loved watching her cry when Heather competed with her geocaching thing on vacation. I just think she was petty enough to bring more than she got the chance to. And I think that people are like, whatever, you know, the blatter mouths of those season, like how Heather is more popular than Kristen will always boggle my mind. I think that people take points away from Kristen because she's so pretty. And, you know, well, at least I'm pretty.
At least I'm pretty.
You know, from her opening line.
Truly one of the worst taglines of all time. That does work against her.
Which I think earns you a spot on my list for most underrated.
Yeah, well, I think she was, was she on my list yesterday? What was my number 5?
Yeah,
she was my number 5 yesterday. Yeah, okay. So we're sort of like in sync with her there. I don't know, did I erase her off my list? She's not on my list anymore. I must have just erased her off my board. Wow, she really is underrated. She's the only one on my little dry erase board who I've actually erased off the list after I said her name.
You, Tamara Barney, erased her from your life.
Mine was Aviva yesterday. So she was my, she's number 6. She's my number 6. Okay. My number 4, I feel like, is going to trigger you, Ronnie. It may trigger a lot of people in the audience. It might just trigger people who aren't even listening. They just sense it in the world. My number 4 most underrated Real Housewife. Hi, Jill Zarin. I'm putting Jill Zarin at number 4 most underrated. I'm saying she's underrated because these days when people talk about Jill Zarin, they talk about how thirsty she is, how, you know, she's so nasty. She's so desperate to be on TV. She's this, she's that, whatever, yada, yada, yada. All those things.
All true.
Which are, actually, all true. But I think because of that, that's why she's underrated, because I think that has become the story about Jules Erin. And the truth is, people forget that for the first two seasons, Jules Erin was actually pretty beloved. Like, everyone loved Jules Erin. She was the franchise. It was shocking when she was fired, because it felt like, how do you get rid of Jules Erin, right? We, in the fight against Bethany, a lot of people took Bethany's side. But I think in retrospect, we sort of realized that Bethany is actually the huge asshole. And like, why did we take Bethany's side when Bobby had cancer in the hospital and she didn't go visit him? And we're like, fuck Jules Erin for being mad at that. That's actually 100% an offense to be mad about. And I think that the thing,
she wasn't friends with Jill at that point when Bobby was in the hospital, was she?
She was. That was one of the reasons why they got into
that whole fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And was like, whoops, I tricked you guys into talking about it. Okay.
Yeah. The ambush.
Sorry. I was just trying to help. Okay.
Yeah. And I actually think in many ways we didn't give Jill Zarin enough grace about the fact that she was probably going through something really terrifying and scary. And so she probably was acting out in a crazy way, in a way that all the other housewives since have always been able to say, well, you know, I was going through something so terrible. Even today, on today's reunion, you're going to hear Carrie say that, you know? So I just think that Jules Erin, she gave us Ginger licking her nostrils. She gave us figure skating. She gave us fabric. And I think that, like, a lot of the things that people got angry at her for, those are offenses that have been committed tenfold, so many more times over, by so many Real Housewives, especially from New York, that I think it's time that we stop being... I think that we stop overlooking her contributions to the Roni universe.
Okay.
Number four.
Well, I respect your opinion. You know,
thank you.
Do not agree with it. Respect you. Respect your opinion.
Giving me a Tiffany
Jules
Moon.
A thirsty
thank you
monster,
for your opinion.
But I respect you. Yeah. Still respect you. So everybody, go onto our Instagram stories today to vote for that. And at our live show Thursday night, we will do the last couple of top people on our list and name the winner.
Yeah.
But today it is time for a Crappens on Demand version of Real Housewives of Dallas Reunion Part 1.
Yes. So it's only a two-part reunion, thank God, because this is our second of three reunions we're recapping this week. And oh my goodness, my brain is about to explode. These are really hard for us. It's a lot of notes we have to take. Oh, and if you're wondering where the Atlanta reunion is, people have been asking. It's on Patreon this week. We've been switching back and forth between Atlanta and Below Deck Sailing. We always announce it on Instagram and Twitter. So be sure to follow that too. So you'll always know where all the recaps are. Okay. So all the women are arriving backstage as usual. It's like the pre-show stuff. And except for, of course, Carrie and Brandy, because Carrie tested positive for coronavirus. And so she has to be in a hotel, and Brandy was sitting next to her. So they're both in their hotel rooms.
Yes. And, you know, Carrie still partied like a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
According to Instagram and Sashal Madia, Carrie still partied like a rock star. I mean, that's how to have COVID, I guess, yeah. Carrie.
And that's how to spread it.
So she's still all over the place partying with people,
yeah.
Maskless. So, you know, never let COVID bring you down. Okay. Just let it kill everyone around you. All right. Let's do it that way. So Tiffany is like, here we go. Finals time. And Cameron's like, this is going to be very interesting without Curry and Brandy. I'm like, well, they could have possibly made you look like less of an asshole. So I think if anyone should be upset they weren't here, it's Cameron. Because, wow, did Cameron sure come out as the old crow she's dressed as today? Wow.
Yeah, not a good look for Cameron this episode. She picked the wrong battles. And yeah, she pretty much lived up to exactly what we always thought she would live up to. So she met expectations.
What is the Bravo giant shoulder art that we're seeing now on every reunion? Why are people wearing these gigantic shoulder pieces on the reunions now? I don't really get it.
They're designed.
We have three of them, I believe, on Atlanta. And we've got Cameron today. Did the Hunchback come back? Like, the Hunchback of Notre Dame replaying on Disney Plus or something? Like, why is this bat in the ether?
Yeah. And remember, Paige wore one of those on the Summer House reunion last year, which was funny because she was recording it in, like, the basement of her parents' house in Albany. So just she was, like, all glammed up in the basement in Albany. And it's been, you know, it's definitely a look that's been going on for several years. I think it's a look that's exclusively for Bravo reunions. Now that I think about it, I'm like, do people wear that to the Oscars? I don't think so. Maybe they did, but it's like, Bravo, time to have a giant shoulder. Time to put something on there for a reunion.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like they're half strapped into a roller coaster. You know, it's like just this big thing coming down over them.
Yeah.
So who cares? Okay, so they're you know, talking about how some have COVID or whatever, and Cameron, we know, is going to be coming for Tiffany because she's in the makeup chair, and someone asked her who's going to be in the hot seat, and she says, Tiffany has chosen to be in the hot seat.
And then, yeah. And then it, like, we see a flash of Cameron saying, did any of us sign up for the Tiffany Moon Grummer class? Which I think is funny, because why would anyone? I just think it's funny when people get so upset when their grammar is corrected. Like, that's a good thing, people. So then we come back to present, and DeAndre's on the phone with Mama D, and Mama D's like, now, when you get up there and you remember, you're the boss, okay? You don't take nothing from anybody. And she's like, yes, mother. Are you saying yes, mother, because you actually believe what I'm saying? Or are you just saying yes, mother, to shut me up? What are you going to say?
Yeah. You going to do it? Or are you just going to say yes, mama? It's like, okay, mama. So then Tiffany is talking about how she's not going to be bringing props because they don't really go with her dress. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, Cameron has a tiny pink suitcase, which we've seen. And yeah, we just hear Cameron saying, I would never sleep at night if I wrote that.
Yeah. She basically is like the people from, I was going to say Procter & Gamble, but whoever it is that does the Oscars who comes out with a suitcase is that ruined it for La La Land. So, yeah. So then basically this reunion is being held together by tape because they all get out there. The feeds on the monitors that have Carrie and Brandy on them, they're not working. And there's confetti coming out of the air conditioner. Like, this reunion is basically being given the sort of treatment that Dallas has always been given, which is kind of... just the awkward shitty stepchild, shitty on the end, on the edge of the couch,
super shitty treatment. I mean, they were put, it's the first reunion, okay, and they weren't even like, hey, the Dallas reunion. Instead, they put on the Real Housewives of New York premiere, and then they put on Dallas, then they put on Watch What Happens Live, and then they put on Dallas at 10:30 at night. I mean, that's bad. That's canceled territory. So no matter what you may think of the show, let's just enjoy it for now, because this is probably it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know. So
I don't know, but this is,
it's not a great sign.
Looks like it's pretty much it, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like it could be less about Dallas and more about that, you know, maybe they just wanted to. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. So, hey, we're paying homage to the South Fork Ranch today. Unfortunately, last night when the ladies arrived, there was a positive COVID test, one of the few positive things about Carrie, okay? But don't worry, they feel fine. But to be on the safe side, Carrie and Brandy are zooming into the reunion. Carrie, is that the couch? It looks like it's all torn up and turned on its side. What's going on over there? Ah, I just want to have fun. Just want to have fun.
I'm just trying to have fun with the couch, Andy, okay? I tried to throw it in the bathtub, but it wouldn't move, so I just ripped it apart. Fun times, Andy. Fun times. He's like, so Brandy, how's everything going? He's like, it's so good to see you, Andy. I wish it was in person. That's why I'm wearing a silverware dinner roll holder together ring on my head, Andy. Oh, and my baby Breland is perfect. Okay, don't worry, anybody who hates me, I'm not gonna say one more word during the rest of this entire reunion.
Yes. And how are you, Carrie?
Oh, Andy, I'm good. I'm so sad I'm not be able to be there in person, you know? Like, it's like I was telling my friends when I went to this beautiful indoor luncheon with my friends that we were having such a good time. We're like, here's two things that I love in life. Not wearing a mask, coughing in each other's faces, licking each other's spoons, and getting to see all my friends at the reunion. Oh, God, that was a great 5 nights in a row that we did that.
Oh, Stephanie, you're next to your best buddy, but she's just a big giant TV screen, okay? Deandra, I'm still shook. You were engaged 13 times.
Well, I almost made it to 14, Mother. But then, you know, Unfortunately, they found out that my original last name was Calloway, and he ran away.
And Cameron has a pink briefcase full of evidence.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's like Elle Woods goes to court. Hey, Tiffany, it's your first reunion. How are you feeling?
Nervous. I'm really nervous. He's like, but you've done more complicated things than this, right? She's like, not really, Andy. So this season, the ladies had COVID and they went from stir crazy to just plain crazy. Let's take a look.
So we go look at the crazy montage of the ladies just wooing and getting spanking each other with cheese boards and basically just being wasted for a year. You know, typical opening montage of a reunion.
Yeah, and I think this is actually is the worst sign for Dallas. Not that it got moved after Watch What Happens, but because they, like Atlanta, their clip montages were like 2 minutes long, which means it's filler, but they're only doing two episodes of reunion. So, wow, that's not a good look if you're doing filler on your two-episode reunion.
Yeah, and do we know for sure it's two episodes? Or do you think that because I told you it was two?
No, because
I was just making that up.
No, because it said, next week, the reunion concludes. So it's official.
Yeah. Okay. So then we talk about Stephanie, you know, using a cheese board on Travis, not using a safe word.
Mm-hmm. I just hit him until he passes out, Andy.
And then we move to, what the wacky chainsaw massacre. Tiffany, did you really poop on yourself?
Yeah, there may have been a short incident followed by a phone call from my mother asking if I needed new underwear, which was so rude of her. I was like, of course, that was so passive aggressive, mother.
My mother abused me on the phone for pooping myself.
My mother got me some towels and some new underwear and then even set up a little changing room for me to change in. I was like, it was so rude. So rude.
And Mama D's story about stalking Glenn Simmons. Did he know that she stalked him?
It's like, yeah, and she told it when he was around. And I've never been a fan of that story. I said, Mother, I'm not going to have your back on that one.
Deandra, you're a beautiful woman. I wish you would hear that. And I wish you would hear that in your heart. And leave your fucking face alone. Just stop it. What are you doing to yourself? It's self-harm at this point. Stop it, okay?
I feel like she has like five blow dryers aimed at her face at the moment. She looks like she's in the wind.
Two tiny ones in her face, in her mouth, you know, blowing outwards at the same time. It's like,
by the way, stop. Bueller is stealing my heart right now. Look at him back there. Do you see him?
What's he doing? Let me look.
He just has his head just lying on the pillows.
That little face.
That face.
Ben, are you
so
hearing
cute.
Me echo? Because no. I'm hearing it, but it's okay because I'm just hearing me twice, which sounds amazing. But if anyone's hearing that, sorry, we've tried to fix it.
Yeah, just pretend we're in an amphitheater. That's all. Guys, welcome to the theater at the Bellagio. You're welcome. We're here. Unfortunately, it's COVID, so it's closed. It's just me and Ronnie. That's why there's this echo. Sorry. Just trying to make thematic sense why there might be an echo. That we took over a theater at the Bellagio.
Oh, so Tiffany won't give an opinion because she's going to respect her elders, okay? And Andy's like, well, when were you aware of your husband's fortune? She's like, 6 months into it, and yeah, it made a difference. He got an extra couple of points on my Excel spreadsheet, Andy.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, I mean, you know, we made a list of positive and negative reasons, and, you know, everything in life has an Excel spreadsheet, okay, including husbands. Which is funny because Bill and Melinda Gates are actually getting divorced now. So talk about an Excel spreadsheet. That did not work out. So, or as Bill Gates calls it, a me spreadsheet. So
Should have used some
Claris Works. But Cameron, of course, her face is like, because I'm not sure she knows what an Excel spreadsheet is. She's like, why is she implying that I don't excel at spreading sheets on my bed?
She wouldn't. She'd probably be like, I've never seen a sheet before because my husband is so rich. So Tiffany has a seat right next to Andy, which is also pretty interesting. She's like center square, which is, you know, good for you. So then we find out that Tiffany had to go to the hospital after her wild Morocco that wasn't Morocco at all birthday party.
Pink balloons.
And which is kind of funny. My sister had that happen once. We've never stopped making fun of her. When she was real young, we just kept making her drink more and more. And she was like, I don't feel good the whole next day. We're like, you wuss. Mm-hmm. It's like 18. She was in college. And we had to take her to the hospital. So I always laugh whenever that happens to somebody on TV.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you're part of the gang now.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now it's DeAndre versus Carrie. I was wondering if Brandy and Carrie were there in person, part of me thinks DeAndre and Carrie would have been next to Andy, you know? But I think that they couldn't have DeAndre and a TV screen next to Andy. I was like, Andy is not going to allow a TV screen next to him. They had to put the TV screens on the end. So
I also doubt it would be Carrie. I just don't think they would give Carrie. Carrie really does not seem to be liked by any.
That's true. And everyone likes Tiffany.
I
don't
know. I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, everyone likes Tiffany. And Cameron can be a total dingbat, but she still is. I think everyone still enjoys her presence on the show. I'm not saying they necessarily like her, especially after this episode, but Cameron is Cameron, you know? So Andy, he's like, Carrie, some viewers thought that you brought up Olivia's suicidal thoughts just to shut down the argument with DeAndra. And Eden Willow from Scott Scatucci said, Carrie using her daughter's feeling to gain the upper hand is a new low. Did you bring Olivia on? Did you mention Olivia to shut down the conversation? Which, of course, like, what's Carrie going to say? Actually, yes, I did do that. But she's like, but then she actually wanted to do it. She's like, no, I would never do that. I normally don't share anything going on in my life, but it was the heat of the moment. And Andy, I don't know. I can't talk about this anymore because Olivia's going through so much. I can't, Andy. I can't.
The guy would love to keep talking about how I might be using my daughter's almost suicide to get out of something. But right now, I'm using tears to get out of that question about me using it.
It really hurt me that DeAndre never called to talk to me about it. I can't go.
Well, why would I call someone who is berating me that's not my mother? Okay? She never called me either.
And Andy's like, yeah, but you said that you never bullied DeAndra, but then we saw video clip receipts
of you bullying DeAndra. What do you got to say about that?
And Carrie's like,
well, I think that bully is a really strong word. Like, was I being combative? Yes. Aggressive? Yes. Was I pulling down her pants? Yes. Was I taking her lunch money? Yes. But was I a bully? No.
Listen, some people might call me a real estate agent who just found her a new locker to be shoved into. I should be thanked.
Well, you were calling me Tiffany. You were calling Tiffany and I COVID girl the entire time. But now, who's the COVID girl now? Who's the COVID girl now?
I love this COVID shaming at people. Guys, that's terrible.
COVID shaming. But, well.
He's got COVID. Now he's the one who's got COVID. COVID girl.
Well, I just like that they're like COVID girl is turning into an insult. And then Cameron's like, I thought Tiffany said it's not proper to say, right? Zing, zing.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, we're not supposed to say it according to Tiffany.
Well, I don't care if you, I don't care if it's proper or not, because you say it the whole time. I was COVID girl, she was COVID girl, and now she's got COVID, and I hope to God you don't get as sick as I was. I was so sick that my mother put a pillowcase over my head and said, okay, she's gone, moving on life, okay?
I knew you had COVID, and what did I do? I brought you pajamas.
And Cameron's like, I brought you pajamas too. Like, okay, guys, everything's forgiven.
Guys, I don't think pajamas cure COVID. What was this pajama brigade? Because then Cameron's like, I spent the whole day trying to buy you the pajamas that you asked me to buy. So I'm just trying to put together this picture of DeAndre Beck.
I have COVID. I need pajamas. I need the silk ones that you get at TJ Maxx. Get them for me, please. I'm going to die. I don't want to die in these bad ones.
I need a specific kind of PJs or I'm going to die of COVID.
Okay, I will search all day for them.
Yeah, I didn't understand either, but I thought it was really funny.
They're like on a pajama scavenger race.
Yeah.
Carrie's like, I never called you COVID. You know, Cam was the one who called you COVID girl. And then Tiffany called Brandy COVID girl at my party.
And Cameron's like, And Stephanie goes, yeah, there was like a lot of people calling other people COVID girl. So,
Cameron's like, Tiffany told us it wasn't right to use that originally, so I just think it's not right to use. Doing that passive aggressive thing, just putting it on to trying to make it Tiffany to be the blame for all of this. So, yes. So then
I don't know what Cameron's game plan here is. I mean, obviously, her game plan is just to turn everything on Tiffany, even racism. Mm-hmm.
It's cathartic.
Which is just so ridiculous. But God, you know, surely her husband was like, no. No, babe, don't do that. Do you think he listened? Because I'm sure she told him her whole plan. And last year, he was really good at being like, babe, get away from Leanne. You can't be around a racist, yeah. You know? So I'm hoping that he did not help with this, but she needed some help because she came in and never even got the clue that she was on the wrong, that she was on the track.
It was that it was not the same situation as last year. Yeah. So Deandra says,
Carrie, when you were giving your flowery speech, you said, I don't want to be called a bully, okay? So when I said you were like a bully, I felt like you were bullying me all season long for no reason, okay? You put my head, you dunked me in pond water, you put poop in my face, you bought me shitty pajamas. That is bullying.
Yeah. And Andy's like, well, does the group think that Carrie was bullying Deandra? And no one raises, it's silence, and no one raises their hands except for Tiffany, kind of. Mm-hmm. And Cameron's like, you know what? I don't like that word.
Says the queen of calling people bullies. Like, literally her entire thesis for later the episode is, you were bullying me. You were bullying me. You knew I didn't like food, and so you're bullying me.
Yes. And like, you know who word. Doesn't like that word? Bullies. Bullies. Yeah, they don't like being called bullies. It's like racists don't like being called racist. Like, how dare you call me a racist? Yeah, because you're a racist.
You said something racist. Like,
what's more offensive, being called a racist or that you're a racist?
Yeah. So Tiffany is like, well, I mean, she was screaming at Deandra, telling her to beg to be her friend. And Andy's like, yeah, you did say the group was too chicken shit to call out Carrie, you know? And Deandra's, I was just getting ready to say that. I was just getting ready to say that.
He goes, well, do you think that? She goes, yes, I think everybody but Tiffany is afraid to call out Carrie. And Carrie's like, come on. And Andy's like, why? And Cameron's like, how are we afraid? We called her out in Oklahoma. And it's like, yeah, but that was light. You know, I mean, look at what I had to go through all season long. And Stephanie's like, I'm not afraid of Carrie, which is why I said, Carrie, oh my God, please don't hit me. I sat down with Carrie and I was wearing a helmet. I remember that, and a bulletproof vest. And I had a snorkel just in case she tried to drown me. And I said, Carrie, that wasn't very nice. Remember that? I totally stood up to her.
And then I ran away and I hid in the corner until I knew it was safe to come out again.
Yeah.
So Deandra's like, you know, no one came to my rescue until the very end of the season when there was damaged property and people were being treated rudely, but no one came to my defense. And then Cameron's like, but we called her out though. She's like, not until the very end, mother. Not until the very end.
Not until there was a bigger problem. I mean, there was damage to property. Someone told JR's ghost he had a tiny pee-pee. I remember it all. Cameron's like, but we did call her out. She's like, it was too late. Since when does Deandra need everybody to stick up for her?
Yeah.
Give me a break. If you're so not afraid of Carrie, then you shouldn't need everybody to stick up for you. I mean, listen, Carrie's definitely the biggest asshole this season, I think. But still, yeah. Deandra, come on.
Well, I think it's less about that. I don't think that Deandra's afraid to stand up to Carrie, but she doesn't want to be made to look like, in their feud, she doesn't want to be made to look like she's the one who's starting all the shit. Like, she's going to get the bad at it. She wants, you know, people to have her back. So it's like clear to us, the audience, that Carrie is the asshole, which it was clear. But Cameron insists that she did speak up. She goes, did you not see me cussing her out after she poured all the salsa over the bed? By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo. You know, this is the day where I celebrate my favorite food.
My daughter's learning Spanish, so I really don't like when you waste salsa.
Yeah, don't waste salsa, especially when we'll be talking about it the day before Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. So they still haven't spoken, Deandra and Carrie. And Deandra's like, well, Carrie said she's a great loyal friend, and I haven't even had a phone call from her, okay? And Andy's like, well, did you call her? Did you call her? Because, you know, you could call her. You know, phones work both ways. And she's like, no, I didn't call her because I was testing her to see if she was going to call me.
Like, yeah. She goes, but do you have any idea why? Do you have any idea why I didn't call you? And the answer is because I screamed at a lady at Verizon and made her do a shot. And now I am banned from all telecom.
Eduardo turned off my cricket phone. There, I said it.
And Andrew's like, yes, I do know why, but it's not my story to share. And Andy goes, what does that mean? It's like, it's not my story to share, Andy. I will not share the story. Oh, my God. Does it have to do with somebody getting new boobs? Anybody raise your hand if you've got new boobs.
Carrie says, well, she knows how hard it is. She calls me crying, and I listened to her crying all last year from people attacking her on Twitter. And yeah, and then this year, when she knew I was getting attacked, she kept egging people on, never once having my back. I'm like, well, the difference is that last year she was getting attacked on Twitter by strangers, and this year you were attacking her, and so people were attacking you because you were being crazy. So she's not... You're attacking her too. Like, you don't have, she's not under any obligation to reach out to you when you were actively attacking her.
Yeah. And she's like, and she stood by that I'm a bully. She said that I'm a bully.
And it's like, if you are examining my social media likes, then you have bigger problems, honey. And Andy says, well, I mean, you're tweeting during the show. So, I mean, it's natural she's going to see those. She goes, I did not tweet anything nasty, Andy, except my boobs a few times. But you know what? That's, you know, to each his own. Okay. Jeremy liked it.
And Stephanie goes, there's one thing that you put out, like, that it was like sort of crappy for you to do as a friend. Like every Tuesday you do like a poster thing. I don't know what it is, and no one really asks for it, but you do it. And you put this up, and it said bullyproof, and like that was sort of crappy for you to do.
Well, you know what? Like, Stephanie, I am not you, okay? I fight with my hands out and close fits, and I don't lay down like you. I'm not milk toast, although I would love some milk and toast if anyone has that. Thank you very much. I am not a doormat. Okay?
She's...
I'm not a doormat. I mean, welcome, but still.
Also, they showed the picture of Bullyproof, and it's Dandra, like, standing in the middle of the street trying to look all badass without her shirt on and, like, a fur coat covering her nipples. Like, yeah. Bullyproof. Like, wow. Call the Trevor Project.
I know.
It needs to go up immediately.
I'm just saying it was a crappy thing for you to post that because... No one really wanted to see it. That's all. No one wanted to see it. It was crappy for you to put that on us. That's all.
And Cameron's like, are you kidding me? When Stephanie needs to stand up, she will. Mostly to pull out your chair before you sit down, which is really kind. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I would like to see one really, really, really nasty thing that I tweeted out. Okay, one nasty thing.
And Andy's like, well, if you made up with her, why are you calling her a bully all over again?
I was going by the episode. Okay, here's what really happened. My mother said, if you don't put this terrible photo out there, I'm going to do it for you. And I had to control the story. Okay, I had to do it. That's what it was.
And if you made up to her, why call Sosama Dia and egg it on?
Okay, this, you know, and I can't believe this is still working in a reunion. I feel like Andy should know better. The story here is, why are you calling her a bully? Because she is a fucking bully. Why doesn't Carrie have to answer for any of that shit that she did? She was being a bully. And if people are offended that kids really get bullied every day and blah, 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 which I get, and you don't like the word, okay, but you're calling semantics, and now the argument is that Deandra is mean for using the word bully, which is bullshit. That's not what it's about.
Carrie
acting like an asshole.
Carrie was an asshole. She actually got away with a lot of it because I sort of get the sense that we're done with the Carrie stuff. And like, she really was not grilled very hard about the salsa or the
Because every time,
South
and
Fork.
She uses the same tactic every time. It's a very famous tactic in real life, but especially on Housewives, become the victim. So now she's the victim that someone called her a bully while she was getting harassed on Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
And then later
for
she'll start, you know, she's already fake cried one time. It's like, come on, lady.
So Andy is basically, Andy's like, so do you want to be friends with Carrie? Because she's got COVID right now, which means you might become COVID girl again.
You know what, Andy? I do. Of course I want to be friends with Carrie. I mean, listen, it gets sort of empty there in that back corner of my car if there's not a person in there hiding amongst all my trunk show goods, you know? So I do miss her. I miss having her around.
Oh, yes. I like Dandra, too. I love being called bully. So I think what we need is one good lunch. Okay, that's what we need, a good lunch.
And he's like, all
maybe
right.
Inside.
Well, maybe it's time for Brandy to do another privileged white lady retreat exercise on you. Trust fall, anyone?
Yeah. Dandra, you know, let's just go get lunch. Maybe, like, we could do it, like, tomorrow, like, inside. I don't know, like, in a hot, stuffy place, someplace like that. You know, it'd be really fun.
So,
all right. So, Carrie, I know that birthdays are very important to you, but I feel like we've celebrated your birthday for what looks like...
Actually, I'm sorry. This is what how Andy does it, okay? He goes,
I feel like we celebrated your 50th birthday for an entire...
And then he looks down at his card and looks up again and goes, season!
Mario from Mapperton says it's been 84 years and it's still Carrie's birthday! All right? Wow.
I love to think that there's someone in Mapperton who's watching this show. That's so cool.
Wow. And a lady who calls herself White Lady said it's been longer than Corona to carry us out of birthday. And she's like, oh, Andy, you know, it was very tough season for me because I realized how much I was struggling. You know, I was so hurt, Andy. How in pain I was. My marriage is falling apart, and I didn't want to admit it.
Really? Because your whole first season was about how Eduardo sucks, and you're going to make him give you some money because you know that your ass is going to be getting poor soon. You don't want to be left poor.
Yeah. Your first season was you anticipating your marriage falling apart, and now you're like,
oh, I was in so much pain because my marriage is falling apart.
So then Andy goes, what is happening with your marriage? Like, he's so like, he says it almost like, what did you get on your sandwich today? Is that what smells? You know? So yeah, she's like,
what did happen with that?
She's like, well, after the show finished, we had to have a real heart to heart. And we realized we need to go our separate ways. And we told our kids, and then I left town to come to the reunion.
I was like, okay, you might still need to do a little work on that mom sensitivity thing you promised your kids you were going to work on. Like, I'm gonna communicate with you more and spend more time with you. Oh, me and your father are getting divorced. Bye. I'll be back in a week.
I'm going to TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very difficult conversation with Eduardo. We sat down, and then I said, be a host, put out the chair for me. And he said, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, shots, let's do shots. Party like it's 1999, Eduardo, yes. And then he left me.
Yeah. So she regrets everything, and she apologizes, but it's only because she was in pain. And Cameron's like, I knew something was going on, but not to that length.
Not that long. And DeAndre goes, I knew.
They bought a house behind my cousin. It was a townhouse, okay? And nothing says D-I-V-O-R-C-E like a townhome. Am I right, everyone? Cousin Fred says so. He said, you go back there, it smells like just divorce and failure. That's what it smells like. So I knew. I swear I knew, mother.
But I didn't say anything because that's not my business, and I'm a good friend, so I didn't say anything about it. Townhouse behind my cousin, the poor one. I mean.
And this is one of the cousins that actually speaks to me, so you know his standards are low.
Well, last season you talked about the show about wanting protection with Eduardo in case something like this happened. Will you be taken care of?
And she's like, well, we sold the house and he helped me, you know, do the stuff from the prenup. So, but I have a jewelry business, but I'm going to have to work, Andy. I'm going to have to work.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to work. Not only does she have to work, she has to work from home. And by home, I mean a shitty townhouse behind my cousin.
Work from townhouse, Andy. No inventing jobs like that, okay? They're going to have to be okay with the occasional bug flying into your Zoom meeting and, you know, the occasional trickle of a banjo playing from someone's back porch, okay? One of your neighbors.
That's okay. I'll help you out with your hobo bindle to get you over there.
I got you on a stick.
Say hi to cousin Fred for me. And try not to get too upset when he plays his quote unquote piano, which is just a bunch of different glasses outside that he just bonks with a spoon until one of them breaks.
So all the ladies are pretend crying along with Carrie, you know? Yeah. They're like, oh my God, work. Good job. Oh. So Cameron's like, I just want to hug you so bad right now. And Dander's like, I know you're going to be successful. I mean, look at you now. Well, All right, well, I'm not going to take it back because I'm a good person, okay? And Andy's like, all right, well, let's move to what actually happened on the show, which I thought was funny. He's like, all right, let's move on to things that actually happened from the show and that you didn't hide from us because you're a selfish wench, all right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So someone said that you don't respect hunting, and that's fine, but how you treated Charles was appalling. He's a Bigfoot expert. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, Andy. Oh, it's hard to remember during this COVID haze. Oh, but right before the trip, a lot of things were going down at home. Mainly shots down my throat. And I was in a really bad place going into that trip. You know, I had just learned I was moving behind DeAndre's cousin Fred. And I took my anger and frustration out on Charles. And I'm really embarrassed. He reminded me too much of cousin Fred a little. I'll be honest.
So then Andy's like, there's a difference between wanting to have fun and putting people in danger. And then we get the clips of throwing people in pools and all of that. Did you know that Tiffany couldn't swim? And she's like, oh my God, I had so many tequilas. I forgot. I swear to you, Tiffany, I'm so, 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 so sorry that I'm going through more pain than anybody on this stage.
I'm so sorry that I'm not a binge drinker, but drank so much tequila that I forgot you can't swim and then threw you in the water. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So Tiffany's like, okay. So then, Carrie, you said your mom had a problem with binge drinking, and you said, thank God that ended with her.
And, you know, as I was watching you, it seems like you have a problem with binge drinking.
It was the funniest. Like, he's just like, I couldn't help but think, you seem like a binge drinker to me, huh? What do you think about that? Just like, and he's just smiling like, you know, you sort of seem like a binge drinker.
Yeah.
And Carrie goes, hmm.
It's just a long pause. You could just hear she's that like, cheap window unit going off, you know, like a little piece of confetti falls on their head. And she's like, hmm.
You just hear the sound of like dueling banjos out the window. Oh, wait, no, she's in her hotel. Never mind. But, you know, she said, hmm. That hmm that she gave was her telling herself, don't fight with Andy Cohen. He's the boss.
I know. Does anyone think she has a drinking problem? And Cameron goes, well, she doesn't drink every day. I mean, we have a podcast, and she'll work very late hours.
Oh, I guess I do have a problem then if I'm not drinking every day. Yeah, gotta fix that.
So Stephanie's like, you know, I think that she really like partook this year, and I think she was just like running away from problems through alcohol, and it was getting her into a lot of trouble. You know, that's just it. And then Andy's like, but at South Fork, you said you would drink less and then change some issues in your life. So what did you change, Ms. Biz Drinker, Binge Drinker?
Well, I've been drinking a lot less, and I'm very excited for the future. Scared, but excited.
It's like, okay, so not much of an answer, but what are you going to say? It's like, you've got the guy in front of you who's like, we're going to do some shot skis. Drink every time you hear this phrase. Gary's a binge drinker. Okay, Gary.
I think that we should all make a concerted effort to check in on Carrie more and give her and call her more. I'm going to call her. I've already taken a solo cup and put some string into it, and I've already tested it goes all the way to Cousin Fred's house, so I'm going to reach her where she can be reached on her phone.
All right, let's switch gears. Cameron, your house was beautiful. Before you got it and painted the whole thing pink, now it looks ridiculous. What do you got to say? She's like, we're having our house installed now, Andy. And he's like, so wait, what? Didn't you already have furniture? And she's like, yeah, but then we had someone install it.
It was cathartic. It was so cathartic.
Can you feel Louis' spirit in the new house? I do, okay. I feel Louis' spirit over me all the time. And I'm always like, Louis, you know I'm a picky eater. Why are you watching me while I eat, Louis?
All right. Well, Sandra from Seal Beach says Carrie's a binge drink. Oh, sorry. Wrong one. Carrie is a bully binge drinking alcohol. Oh, sorry. Wrong card. All right. Cameron, your relationship with Court sets feminism back 50 years. Hope the money's worth it. Love this card, Seal Beach. Nailed it.
You know what? Kurt is my best friend. Like, he's there through thick and thin. Every scorpion bite I get, he's there, okay? And you're only seeing a glimpse of my life. I was bitten by a black widow. I was bitten by a caterpillar. I was actually bitten by Bigfoot. You guys didn't see, I actually found Bigfoot. I was bitten by him. And Kurt's always there. And he, like, just, like, knows me. And, like, we have a wonderful merge. And it's, like, it's very equal.
Well, I've never seen him crying, you know. I really didn't see it coming, mostly because when I watched this, I was on a step stool getting something out of a counter, turned around and didn't even notice that Kurt was in the scene. Does he get emotional a lot? And Cameron's like, no, never. He cried when Louis died. He cried when we had boobies. He cried when he tried to get on the Matterhorn, but they wouldn't let him. For the house.
Hey, we have Kurt here on satellite. Let's wheel in that other TV. Kurt, how's it feel to be in the new house? Ah, thanks so much for being here, Kurt.
So your dog trainer gave you a C+ at dog training, Cam. What about that? She's like, I was just happy to get a great...
and I didn't appreciate Tiffany mocking me for that because she did go on Twitter mocking that I got a C+, but I'm like not gonna let it bother me. And he goes,
but you did let it bother you.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I did, but then I was like, I just have to let it go. So and he's like, but you just brought it up. So then we see their segment, you know, or whatever. And so Andy's like, so Tiffany, what was harder, your first season of the show or your first year of residency? And she's like, well, I definitely cried more during Housewives. So I'll tell you that much.
Well, by becoming the Doogie Howser of Dallas, by graduating medical school at 23, Dr. Tiffany Moon married a successful hotelier and gave birth to twins, proving that even her ovaries are overachievers. But one thing she couldn't achieve, the elusive work-life balance, or pulling off a very good prank with crickets. Okay, roll that footage.
So we watch that, and then he asks, you know, what's the reaction to from people at the hospital about the show? And she's like, well, a lot of people were saying it's career suicide, and no one's ever going to take me seriously. And he's like, ironically, though, in this world, it could be an amazing career decision because now millions of people know that you're a brilliant esthetician? Am I saying it right?
Esthetician?
No, that's someone who does your nails, which is sort of a loaded slip up on your part for many different reasons. Oh. I'm in anesthesiologist.
Oh, yes, actually. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Oh, my God.
I think Andy realized he looked a little embarrassed. He was like, a lot to unpack from me. Moving on.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, then other people were saying that maybe you're just too sensitive because your mom didn't seem too bad at all. And she's like, I am sensitive. And so every little small thing she says, maybe I was taking it that way because I am, you know, sensitive. And she says that her parents said that they didn't watch a show, which I don't believe for two damn seconds. I do not believe it. I'm sorry. But they hear about it from their friends and it really pissed the dad off, you know, and the dad called her an idiot.
Yeah. And Tiffany had to twist her mom's arm to come onto the show. And she thinks that her mom probably regrets being on it now. So, Dan.
Well, you shouldn't twist your mother's arm because that's elder abuse. And I really don't approve of elder abuse, Tiffany.
What sort of daughter does that to her mother? Twisting her arm? I would never do that. I would never do that.
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I twisted my mother's arm.
Never. So Deandra tries to put a good spin on it, saying,
well, it seemed like she was excited about having more mother-daughter time because she reached out to you and said that she wanted to spend more time with you. I mean, that's exciting to me since I know you wanted that for so long. I mean, I wish I knew what that was like to have a mother who actually loved me. I don't know. I just have a mother who gives me a key and then throws it in the lake. That's what I know. That's what motherhood is for me.
So have you spent more mother-daughter time? And Tiffany's like, no. I mean, she's vaccinated, but she still uses Corona as an excuse. So then we get to the good stuff. And he's like, well, Sasha from Salisbury says, you do impressions of your immigrant mother on TikTok, okay, and then we see the clips where she's like, you know, talking like her mom, and she's like, "You're a bad student," and throwing shoes at her head, throwing slippers at her head. And Andy's like, "Are you just perpetuating Asian stereotypes?"
By the way, whoever is friends with Sasha, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you have a friend who cannot, who is taking offense at Tiffany's TikToks of her mom. I'm so sorry that you have such a humorless friend.
Yeah. And it's like, those are meant to be funny and based off true events. And Cameron's like, "Does your mom really throw shoes at you? Because I was actually kind of disturbed when I saw that TikTok. So I wanted to hear from you about that."
My mother has thrown many a shoe at my head. I'm just confused because stereotyping is racism, and I don't understand why you think that's okay. So you guys, you heard it here first. Cameron, I mean, I don't know. I think that Cheryl Ifill's at the, you know, at the NAACP should just be calling up Cameron and be like, "You got to come sit on some panels with us."
Well, I mean, guys, this is really cringy, hilarious, but very cringy to watch Cameron go through this. On a positive note, Cameron is finally upset about a racist video on TikTok. She's finally upset that somebody has made a racist video. Didn't bug her at all when Brandy did it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what? At least she's upset now at the Asian person. True. So you know what?
She's a lot more upset.
Baby steps.
Yeah, but baby steps don't always go the right direction. So Cameron, so she's basically like, "When I saw your TikTok video of your mom throwing a shoe at you, I was like, oh my gosh. And actually, other people called me about it too." It's like, and Tiffany has a great response. She's like, "Really? Other people called you about it? Your friends need something better to do."
Explain. Well, I'm just letting you know. And she's like, "Okay, so explain to me how I'm being racist to my own race again, because I didn't quite catch that." Dun, dun, dun. So then we come back from commercial and Cameron's like, stereotyping is racism.
Why is she stereotyping if she's imitating her mom?
I thought it wasn't funny in general. I just didn't think it was something funny to put on TikTok. Sorry.
It's like, the house slipper was her weapon of choice growing up. And, you know, sorry. And Cameron's like, "Why is that funny to you? It's just a furry word to me." It's like, "Then just unfollow me and stop watching, Cam." She goes, "I'm just telling you my opinion."
"Thank you for your opinion." Tiffany handled it so well. Tiffany was like, "No, you're not. This is not for you," right? So Andy says, "Was that the first time your mom ever hugged you?" And she's like, "Well, she gave me side hugs and she's like patting me on the head and she once took a bunch of my report cards and made them into a little chain and wrapped them around me, which sort of felt like a hug."
"But then I realized she was trying to strangle me with them." So, yeah. Kind of. And he's like, "Gary, you had a similar experience with your mom this year." And she's like, "Oh, you know, I tried to share that with Tiffany. We have so much in common. We're immigrants. We have mommy issues. We like throwing people into pools. You know, we both broke the plexiglass on Jer's room. You know how it goes, Andy. But then, you know, she would never, like, follow up with the friendship, Andy."
And Tiffany says, "Well, I felt picked on, and you know, you said I was the party pooper and you threw me in the pool and I almost died and you said I was boring, so that's just like how I felt." And so then Cameron jumps in.
Yeah, but do you feel like maybe you were picking on people too?
Do you always have to interrupt?
I'm just chiming in, girl, because you do these things to other people.
Okay, so, like, shall we finish and then pick up with this, or what do we do?
Yeah, okay, go ahead and finish, Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay, all right, what would you like to say, idiot?
No, you finish.
I'm done.
Mm-mm, you finish first.
No, but I'm done. I'm done, though.
Nuh-uh, if you have more to say, then you finish.
No, I'm done. I'm done. You speak. Oh.
Nuh-uh, you.
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm actually going to make a TikTok video very soon, so I'm done.
You just telling me to go first is racist.
Stereotyping the priority of when you go in talking order is racist.
So Tiffany's like, well, what I was saying was I just wanted to be friends with Carrie, but we had a rough start and we did get to a better place. And Carrie's like, you know what? I'm very often misunderstood. Okay, I come across like this big, tough personality, but I just have the best intentions. No, no. Mm-hmm. You break things, you get wasted, you yell at people, you berate people, you throw people in the pool. You're an asshole, okay? There's no misunderstanding. What you're misunderstanding is that you're a fucking asshole. Stop it, okay?
Yeah.
That's what you're misunderstanding, okay? It's not about your husband leaving you. It's not about your daughter having, you know, depression. It's about you being an asshole. Stop being an asshole, okay?
Absolutely. It's that, if people are constantly getting the wrong impression of you, that's not on them. That's on you. You have to change your behavior.
That's on you, girl.
Girl. Okay. You're not Ms. Understood like Pink. Okay. I think that was the name of her album.
So then we get to Tiffany's trying with this group, but failing, like having all the rules at the party, then the chicken feet thing, then the cricket thing and Brandy barfing in the bathroom, which we now find out is probably because she was pregnant. Okay. So then Andy's like, you know, you guys did hug at your birthday party, but it was a really long journey to get to that hug. Okay. Now we got a lot of comments about you correcting people, ironically from Twitter, where nobody can spell fucking anything. Okay. Ass from Australia said correcting Cam was patronism. Okay, because you're a jerk doll. What do you have to say about that?
When I correct people, it comes from a place of wanting them to be correct, and then that way they don't go somewhere else, and then people think that they're dumb because they didn't know what the original thing was in the first place, because they are dumb, and I'm just trying to help them be less dumb, you know? But maybe I could work on my delivery.
Yeah, but like if you had salad in your teeth, would you not want me to tell you? And then Cameron's like, oh, tiny pink briefcase. So she pulls out her Barbie peach briefcase and she's like, you mean this tweet, right? And she's got like a big thick stack of papers that she's printed out. The housewives. Evidence comes out. The receipts come out. So she's like, this tweet, because this is about character. This is, you have broccoli in your teeth. And Andy goes, oh my God. All right, just give it to me. So he's reading it. And she goes, broccoli in my teeth? I would say thank you. Or like, if I had something on my shoe and you told me, I would say thank you.
Thank you.
But it's not about that. Okay? Yeah. It's like intelligence. This is about my character, Tiffany. It's like, it's not your character. You can't say words. You don't know shit, Cam. Okay? It's not really about your character. It's more about your ignorance.
Yes. I'm sorry that you succumbed to an anti-intellectual strain that runs through this country, unfortunately. But like, you're not using words properly, and so she's trying to help you by saying, this is what cathartic means, you know? But did any of us sign up for the Tiffany Moon grammar class? Because I know I didn't. I'm like, well, that's the problem, actually. You need to sign up for the grammar class.
Yeah, you don't need to sign up for Tiffany Moon's, but you definitely need to sign up for one. And also, it's bullshit because, you know, she's saying you're coming for my intelligence and you're posting about it on social. And I have a whole file about my intelligence of you saying stuff. And Andy's like, well, you know, you were saying rude stuff. Like, why were you saying that? And Tiffany says, well, when she was on, oh, sorry, I'm Andy. She says, when she was on Watch What Happens Live. Okay. And then they show the clip from Watch What Happens Live. And it's Andy and the guest making fun of Cameron, how stupid she is. The whole game is about how stupid Cameron is. And she's cracking up at them making fun of her on national TV. It's the most hilarious thing. But for Tiffany to tweet jokes about, like, here's a word a day calendar as a gift, hearts, is like the most offensive thing. You're belittling my character.
And also, you know, Tiffany did correct her. And I mean, I do understand why, you know, no one, sometimes, you know, if someone's being condescending, like, this is how you say the word, you know, it's like, hey, like, sorry, like, you're embarrassed, you know, whatever. But I think that, I forgot what I was going to say, actually.
She's just being so dramatic about it. It's like, well, that's
what it was.
You can just say, I don't like being corrected without being like, taking down.
Exactly. Cameron is acting like all of Tiffany's tweets came out of the ether, but her tweets were a reaction because Cameron was being so above and beyond ridiculous about being corrected that Tiffany was like, okay, well, I'm gonna tweet about it then. Like, it was just, it's just like catharsis, that's all.
Right. And basically they kind of say this later, but it seems like what they're mad about, like everyone's against Tiffany, but it seems like they're mad that Tiffany's like, everything's okay. Kind of why they're mad at Deandra. And then you go on social and you're like, well, everybody hates those people because how they treated me on the episode tonight, right?
Right.
So I'm going to join in with those people, right, even though we've already made up. But that's how Housewives shows work. You comment, yes, on the episode at hand, you know?
Yes.
You don't just say, well, we've already made up, so I'm totally fine with this. You're supposed to be tweeting about the actual episode, so...
Yeah, well, Cameron never misses a chance to get rightfully indignant. And she's like,
yeah,
it was so rude. Like, I would never in a million years post that about someone, especially a girlfriend. Like, never. I would never be able to sleep at night. I would have amnesiac, okay? I would not be able to do it.
He's like, well, this one here is kind of meme. It's a word a day calendar. I mean, that's funny. I mean, it's mean, but I'm laughing at it. But
he's like
mean,
fully smiling and cracking up. He's like, this is so mean right here, Tiffany. Ah, good job.
And he's like, well, she did put a heart on it. And Cameron's like, yeah, but she hashtag Surrey, not Surrey.
So Judy from Judytown says, bully is a strong word. Do you stand by that word? By the way, Cameron, bully is a word. It's spelled B-U-L-L-Y, and it stands for basically Carrie over there. And, you know, it just felt like I was being hazed. That's all, you know?
You shouldn't call people bulls. Okay, it's not nice. And Carrie's like, look, okay, look, you said you wanted to have fun, and I want to have fun. I want to help you have fun. You know, but my way is different, you know. Shooting people, taking shots, drowning them in pools, tying them up by their ankles and throwing them around, running them over with cars. You know, we have different ways. So, you know, you said you forgive me, but then behind my back you say I'm a bully. So, you know, behind my back, like you were saying stuff. So,
yeah. Carrie, who has been totally, consistent with her shit all season long, where like she's like, oh, you can always say anything, say it to my face, that's fine, and then people say it to her face and she freaks out. Come on. So
yes, and also Carrie, who spent the entire first season talking shit about Deandra behind her back to everybody.
Yes. So so Cameron goes, I think Tiffany that you're thoroughfast. And what's three-faced? It's like you say one thing to us, one thing to the camera, and one thing to the press. That's their house.
Okay, now look, just to play devil's advocate, I get this. Like, I get what they're saying, you know, because...
Yeah, I actually do too.
If anybody did follow the social media during the season, which, I mean, we kind of did as it was going along, it did get really... It's like, wow, she really hates these ladies. Like, I was waiting for something in the season huge to happen beyond the stuff we've already talked about that would make Tiffany leave the season hating them to this degree or being this pissed off. And then it didn't happen, really. Like, they had kind of made up and stuff by the end. So I was like, well, that's weird, because I was expecting for something big, because according to social media, there's like a lot of bad stuff there. So, well, I mean, I kind of get
Tiffany
this,
did.
But Cameron is just going about it the wrong way. Like, if that's your problem, okay. But she's just being an ignorant fool, and then it just gets worse, because now we're onto chicken feet.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll tell you what Tiffany did wrong. She wound up being, like, most popular in the cast.
Yes.
And I don't think they like that. So,
didn't. And so people were coming to her defense, and she's retweeting those people. And then the housewives take it like, oh, my God, she's retweeting them, which means now she's coming for us. You know, like, she wrote all those tweets herself. Like, she's allowed to, like her supporters. You guys do it.
So now Cameron, this is good. This is a good moment for Cameron right here. So Tiffany is like, well, Cameron went onto Twitter and said, chicken feet, no thanks. I'd rather eat sparkle dog treats, you know? And Cameron goes, yeah, completely. Mm-hmm. So Cameron still does not understand why this is so deeply tone deaf. I mean, I understand Cameron's like narrow literalist logic in it, which is that she's like, I don't like chicken feet, but like these dog treats are good. Like, you know, but she doesn't realize the underlying implications by saying that. It's kind of like, you know, comparing a beloved cuisine for a culture that's very, you know, very correlated with a culture to something that's like meant for dogs. Right.
Yeah, which is, I'd rather eat dog food than chicken feet really stupid. And to still not get it after all that happened over it is so stupid of her.
Yeah.
And like, Andy says that the chicken feet thing got so serious that the producers actually had to step in. And I was reading these as they were happening during that time. Like, what the hell? Like, she just did not get it.
Yeah.
And she still does it. Like, learns nothing.
She does not understand.
You gotta hand it to Cameron. She is like, she's got like Scotch guard over her learning. Like, she will not be stained by knowledge.
The woman who is accusing Tiffany of being racist and then does not understand why there are problematic undertones to her little photo. And she goes, she says, you know, I'll be completely honest that I have an employer that tweeted that out and it wasn't me, but I take catharticism of it because it was on my Instagram and it wasn't a personal thing. And I sincerely apologize that I offended you for that. I really do. But you knew I was a picky eater, and I think that you set me up. Like, Cameron, first of all, thank you for being super self-involved like that. That's actually really what I look for in a real housewife, so thank you. But also, this is one of the most ridiculous conspiracy theories we've ever heard.
Yeah, it really is. And she's like, you had the whole thing set up, okay? And she said it was a joke, and then she got offended about Sparkle Dog. Like, if it's a joke, then why are you getting offended about Sparkle? I mean, just so, so stupid. And Andy's like, all right, well, Tiffany, do you accept that apology? And she's like, no, we're not finished. And then they just cut to Brandy's face, who has said nothing this whole time. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for coming.
Whatever, she's watching Chip and Joanna in the back of her Zoom on her hotel TV. Let's be honest. She's watching the Magnolia Channel. So there it was. Really not a great moment for Cameron, but a great moment for us as an audience. So next week that will conclude. And then tomorrow we will have New Jersey. New Jersey will be our recap. And then in the evening, we have our big Roni recap. So if you don't want to wait, come see it. Come buy tickets to it. It's going to be so much fun. And of course, I didn't mention this. We are going to be talking about the big shot with Bethany on the live show as well. And doing a Q&A afterwards. We're going to sort of chat with people and et cetera. It's going to be a really, really fun live virtual event. So go get your tickets. Go to watchcrappins.com and there are links there. Or go to onlocation.com/watchcrappins. Excited to see you there. And in the meantime, we'll be back mañana for Real Housewives of New Jersey recap. Bye, Ronnie. Bye, Bueller.
Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.
We love you guys.